I am Cynthia Lagdimeo from the U.S. Federal Trade Commission. And it's my pleasure as chair of the Notification and Procedure Subgroup of the Merger Working Group to welcome you to today's program on Tools for Change. For those of you able to log into the webinar, you can hopefully view the slides in real time. For those of you that are on the line, if you're having difficulty seeing it, you may need to go to View and synchronize your view or try the buttons at the bottom of the webinar. If you're having problems logging in, you might have better luck using Internet Explorer. Otherwise, if you can't see the PowerPoint or you're not able to log in, not a problem. You can download the slide deck from the ICN blog at icnblog.org or from the Merger Working Group page on the ICN website. I have been very fortunate to have had the opportunity to be associated from the beginning with one of the ICN's first two projects, addressing procedural issues arising from the tremendous growth in the number of jurisdictions that have established merger review systems. The Notification and Procedures Subgroup responded to that challenge by developing 8 guiding principles and 13 recommended practices for merger notification and review procedures. The ICN principles and pre-practices have become the world standard for good merger review process. It's been 5 years since the complete set was adopted by the ICN. But we didn't wait until then to begin efforts to promote implementation. In the ICN world, you could say the NFP is ahead of its time, and we paid attention to implementation from the start. We'll highlight today some of our written reports and our ongoing benchmarking projects that assess ICN member conformity with the recommended practices, and we continue to promote implementation through ICN workshops and webinars like today's program. We hope that you emerge from today's call with a better understanding of the tools the ICN has to offer in terms of resources and work products and how they can be effectively used to promote change, bringing merger notification and review systems into greater conformity with ICN recommendations. We have a terrific lineup of speakers, and we have our moderator, Maria Coppola, from the Federal Trade Commission, to thank for that. Thank you, Maria, and I'll turn the program over to you now.
Thanks, Cynthia. As Cynthia mentioned, the NMP subgroup has been focused on implementation of the recommended practices from the very start, and we have lots of good news on that front, a ways to go, but still an impressive number of agencies continue to make conforming changes. And as a result, we believe there are fewer unnecessary burdens on parties and on agencies in reviewing cross-border mergers than there would be without the recommended practices and the work of the ICN more generally in this area. During this webinar, we'll draw on the experience of ICN members and NGAs who've made or help facilitate changes using ICN resources and work product to help identify what Cynthia has called tools for change. Our discussion today is centered around 4 themes that emerged from our implementation work. The first is laying the groundwork for reform. The second, the role of international best practice in advocating for reform. Third, internal agency reform to affect change. And 4, building support for change. We have a lot of speakers today with a lot of interesting stories, but we also want to hear from you, the listeners. We'll open the floor after the discussion of each of the 4 themes, and I encourage you to ask questions, share your experiences, and talk about the role of the ICN in your jurisdiction. With that, we're going to move to the first theme, which is laying the groundwork for reform. For this theme, we'll hear from Dan Sjöblom. Dan has been Director General of the Swedish Competition Authority since March of last year. Prior to that, he served as Head of Unit in the Directorate General for Competition at the European Commission, where he participated in the group drafting the recommended practices. I'll ask Cynthia to pass the video to Dan. Dan is going to talk about the Swedish reform of its merger threshold. And I wanted first to introduce the ICN report on this topic. The recommended practices, which I think I will continue to refer to as the RPs, and I'm sure others will as well, talk about how the merger threshold should apply only to transactions with a material nexus to the reviewing jurisdiction. They say that the nexus should be material. However, there's not a whole lot of guidance within the practices themselves about what constitutes material. So there's been considerable uncertainty and debate about how jurisdictions can establish the currency amount of thresholds that incorporates appropriate material local sales or assets. And to address this situation, the Notification of Procedure subgroup studied how members revise their merger thresholds. And we surveyed about 21 or more members that had recently adjusted their thresholds. The experience of Sweden was particularly noteworthy, as Dan is going to discuss in a moment. And while many of the speakers today are going to talk about how the ICN work product influenced their changes, I think for Sweden it was the other way around. In the ICN, learning about how Sweden did this, we since then have said to many ICN members who wanted to change their thresholds that they really should go and look to the experience of Sweden. Dan, I'll just ask that you hit send video, the send video button, and then your face should come up on the screen. Super. Fantastic. So with that, pass to Dan.
Thank you very much. I'm listening in on the phone here because my speakers don't seem to work, so that's why I'm holding on to the phone. But I do see my own face on the screen, which is interesting. Well, thank you for the invitation to speak at this webinar. And indeed, in Sweden, the habit of revising merger thresholds predates the work of the ICN, even as it's now going into the second decade. The original thresholds of the Swedish Competition Act was revised the first time in 1997. The first requirement that existed before then was a global turnover requirement set at 4 billion Swedish kronors, and then it was a requirement that both parties or two parties had activities in Sweden, but they were not specified in any monetary amount. Then in 97, there was a requirement being introduced by which one of the involved parties needed to have a local nexus of 100 million. So that's a pretty low nexus only for one party. That was only employed for about 3 years, and then in the year 2000, it was introduced that not only one, but actually two of the parties involved needed to have a 100 million turnover in Sweden. That was then maintained for a long number of years, up until 2008, when there was a big study undertaken how these thresholds in fact had impacted, how they worked in practice. Which led to rather significant change again. And in fact, what was done was all notified mergers for the preceding 3 years were sort of looked at to see what was the real impact, how many of them were problematic, and so on. And it was felt that lots of notifications were received that were not really necessary, and perhaps one could try to find a way to better focus the impact of mergers that had to be reviewed. We also then at that time looked at sort of the size of various industries in and services in the local market, and it was felt that the pre-existing global requirement of 4 billion Swedish krona would actually exclude review of even mergers to monopoly in some services and industries. For example, you could merge all the cinemas in Sweden and you would have less than 4 billion. And the same was true for commercial radios, opticians, funerals, and other services. At the same time, many of the notifications, it was felt to be concerned basically international deals where the parties happened to have some turnover in Sweden. So what was done in 2008 was a twofold change. First, the 4 billion requirement was reduced actually to 1 billion, but it was no longer required to be at global level, but in Sweden. So in fact, now, since 2008, we no longer have any reference to global turnover. So we have the first turnover thresholds of all parties jointly having to have 1 billion only in Sweden. And then there's an additional requirement, like it used to be, that two of the parties need to have a certain minimum turnover, and that was actually at the same time raised from the pre-existing 100 million to 200 million in a new setting. So now we have double turnover requirements, global for the deal and for two of the parties, but all of them look only at turnover in Sweden. And the prognosis that was done at the time of the change was that this would lead to more or less the same number of cases being notifiable, however, it of course being quite a different set of transactions being notifiable. So some previously not so interesting, perhaps more global deals no longer requiring to be notified, but more of the local deals hitting requirements for notification. It's still a little bit early to be very clear on the outcome, because as you know, since fall of 2008 we've had quite a big recession, so it's very difficult to tell exactly what is downturn in cases in terms of the general economic downturn and due to these thresholds. But I think we do see that it seems to be a better fit between the cases that come to us and them actually more often than not having some local interest. What I should also mention is that the system that we have allows the competition authority, should only the bigger threshold be met, the 1 billion requirement, but not the 2 times 200 million requirement, then the notification can actually be requested by the authority. So you're not home free if you're below the lower set of thresholds. We can require notification of those cases, and we have in fact done so twice in the last 6 months or so. So that might be something where we will want to keep an eye on to see perhaps that adjustment, which if you recall what I just said, where we doubled the turnover requirement, it might have been that we raised those figures too high, but that's something we're keeping an eye on. So I think that's the introduction I was intending to make on the subject. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. If I could ask you to pass the video to Andreas Mundt, but who's showing up as Thilo Reimers, or to Cynthia Legg de Mayo, so they can pass that on. I just wanted to highlight one thing that Sweden and many others found extremely useful in revising their threshold, and that's a look back, looking back at the previous however many years transactions to see what would and wouldn't have been caught. That was something that a lot of the jurisdictions had found very useful. Next, we will hear from Andreas Mundt, who joined the Bundeskartellamt in 2000. He was head of unit for international competition matters and then director of general policy. He was appointed president of the Bundeskartellamt in 2009. And like Dan, Andreas was an important member of the team that drafted these recommended practices, so it's really a pleasure to hear from him today. Andreas will talk about a recent reform effort in Germany, which added a second-party local nexus requirement. So I'm just going to ask, Dan, if you could highlight the name Thilo Reimers and then right-click it and say make presenter. That will allow Andreas to go onto video.
What I have done so far is I've hit stop video.
Done. Perfect. It's done. Thank you. Okay, and now we'll hear from Andreas, and we may very well see him as well. There he is.
Hello, Maria. Hello, everybody. Yes, indeed, I'm very happy to be with you because I'm one of the rare examples who have followed the process of developing a recommended practice and implementing it into law, which very many can say. So it's really a pleasure for me to be with you today, and it's a pleasure for me to be in a in an ICN teleseminar, because we didn't even dream of that when we set up our first telephone conferences and conference calls in the ICN many years ago. And I'm very happy that the topic of implementation has been integrated into the work plans of several ICN groups now, particularly the merger working group and the unilateral conduct working group. So I would very much like to give you some German perspective on the issue of implementation and what roles ICN best practices, ICN recommended practices have played in Germany and how they have been implemented. At the Bundeskartellamt, we were always convinced, and we are convinced today, that our national laws comply with the relevant RPs of ICN. However, there are, as usual, areas in which they comply more, and there are some, actually very few, of course, in which they comply a little bit less. And one of the areas in which they complied a little bit less was the local nexus required for merger notification. Originally, German antitrust law stipulated that the determination of a transaction's nexus to the German jurisdiction was based on the local activity of only one undertaking. And on a personal note, I should say that I've been rather mystified by this when I took up competition law 10 years ago upon joining the Bundeskartellamt. I should say that some were also mystified that I was mystified in the BKA, but in fact that was the case, and I was very astonished that the thresholds could be fulfilled by only one undertaking being economically active in Germany. But nonetheless, the RPs concerning the local nexus of the ICN over time have stipulated a useful debate in Germany. With this debate and in the course of negotiating the merger RPs, which, as you probably all know, recommend the introduction of a second national turnover threshold, more and more people recognize the benefits of such a second domestic threshold. And we became convinced as well as an agency that a second threshold would not only provide more legal certainty, but would also reduce the burden on notifying undertakings in Germany. However, it took some time for this conviction to grow with our agency, as well in the German legal and legislative community. And in this process of both learning and convincing international practice, particularly the ICN recommended practices, proved to be immensely valuable. In the end, our legislator took the step of introducing a second domestic turnover threshold, and the ICN RPs were even cited in the explanatory note of the relevant law. As the change was also intended to reduce the burden on companies, particularly small and medium-sized ones, it was adopted as part of a larger legislative package which was expressly into red tape for SMEs. And I can already give you some impression on the results of this second turnover threshold. Some years ago, that was, I think, in 2008, we had about 2,000 merger filings a year. And nowadays, in 2010, in 2009, we have dropped down to 1,000. You can see that has really reduced the burden for the Bundeskartellamt to approve mergers, and we have much more room for maneuver for the fight against cartels and for the times or for the field of unilateral conduct. But what I also want to stress is it has been a very long way to introduce this second domestic issue. First, we had to overcome some obstacles within the Bundeskartellamt itself. At the beginning, not very many people were convinced that this was the right way. And my former head of department asked me, well, what are you doing there in this ICN? This will never become law. Today, it is law. So we started a year's process negotiating these recommended practices until they really were implemented in our law. That is really sometimes a long way. It started in Naples with a lawyer coming across my way saying, have you read the recommended practices? You have to change the law. That was in 2001 in Naples, and the lawyer was Cornelis Kadenbly, who many of you might know. And it, from then, it still took something like 8 years until this became law. So you see, it's a long way, but it's worth it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andreas. I think that point about time is an important one. I think some of us sometimes are a bit impatient or not always aware of how long the road can be. I think it's particularly interesting that the reform in Germany was done as part of a package of reforms for SMEs. For those of you who aren't familiar, that's small and medium enterprises. It's a creative approach, and I think in some respects it limits the likelihood that the entire competition law will be open for amendments, which is what some agencies have said is an important factor in deciding whether or not to change their merger procedure. I think that I'm going to see if there's any questions or interventions from the floor. Operator, would you open the lines for questions?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
At the same time, I'll ask participants who are on the first number of the webinar to accept our apologies for the slides, which seem to be slowly getting fixed. But if they do not, you can also pick up the slide deck at www.icnblog.org and follow along that way. I apologize greatly for this inconvenience. Rather difficult to read them vertically.
At this time, there are no questions in the queue. I turn the call back over to you, Ms. Coppola.
Thank you. And again, I'll just encourage participants. We'll ask for questions again in about 15 minutes. So I ask you to start thinking about them now, and please feel free to jump in. With that, we'll move to our second theme, which is the role of international best practice in advocating for reform. This is a topic we addressed at length in the implementation report Cynthia mentioned. One interesting thing that we heard then and have heard repeatedly since then is that the ICN recommended practices are most persuasive when they're used as a complement to other internationally accepted models and work on best practice. For those of you thinking about using the recommended practices and advocacy, it's helpful to also consider using things like the OECD Council recommendation on mergers, which is very similar in substance to the recommended practices. It's often quite helpful to have lots of different sources saying, this is a great thing. We'll hear from Olavo Chinaglia, who's the commissioner at Brazil's CAGE. He was appointed a commissioner at CAGE after a decade-long career as a competition and corporate lawyer, and we're most grateful that he'll be able to speak today. He's an active participant in ICN. Olavo will discuss Brazil's proposed amendments to the merger regime, and perhaps he'll give us a status update on how the amendments are faring in the legislature. Olavo?
Okay. Thank you, Maria. Hi, all. I'd like to start by saying that ICN's recommended practices has been of extreme importance to us, not only in the discussion of the budget bill for the reform of the Brazilian antitrust system, but also in the very interpretation and enforcement of our current law. Just for you to have an idea, our merger notification criteria were established in 1994 by the law number 8884, and it foresees that every transaction involving companies whose gross revenue in the previous year regarding the transaction is superior to 400 million reais, which is about, about $200 million, are obliged to notify the antitrust authorities of this transaction. There's also another criterion related to market share, that meaning that if the resulting company of the transaction holds a market share of 20% or superior, the notification is also compulsory. As you can see, these provisions, these legal provisions by themselves, are not really sufficient for private parties to have a clear and transparent idea of when to notify the authorities. A simple question to illustrate this point. When the law refers to gross revenue, is it referring to the companies directly involved with the transaction or to the respective economic groups? And besides, where is this gross revenue supposed to be obtained, in Brazil or worldwide? So ICN's best practices has assisted CADE's board to define by interpretation, to refine these criteria so that, for instance, nowadays we understand that if the group of companies involved in the transactions, regardless of being a direct party in the deal, has obtained in Brazil the gross revenue of $200 million or superior, then the notification is compulsory. But of course, we always have room for perfectioning. So we are discussing in our Congress a very big reform of the antitrust competition defense system. One of the main aspects of this reform is actually the revision of these criteria. In coherently with ICN's best practices, we are trying to set a second set of criteria that will add to the first and then serve as a better filter for defining which transactions are supposed to be notified and checked by the antitrust authorities. Because actually, as the current criteria has more than 15 years old, it's about time to review this process, these criteria, and so that less transactions are compulsory notified and the authorities can better review the ones that will end up being informed. Well, the second set of criteria that the project bill forces is refers to the gross revenue of the selling company or group of companies. Nowadays, the $200 million criteria is applicable to any of the parties in the transaction. The proposal is to make this criteria applicable only to the buyer economic group, and additionally to that, the notification will be compulsory only if the seller economic group has an additional or has its own gross revenue of 30 million reais, which is about $15 million or superior. And only on these cases, the notification will have to be presented. The idea is that if a relevant economic group starts a very small business, regardless of any other consideration, then the notification will not have to be presented. But if, according to this understanding, if the new business or the acquired business has a minimum economic substance, then the notification will have to be presented. It is absolutely adherent to ICN's best practices regarding local nexus and the focus on the two sides of the transactions at least. And discussing this change in the Congress is not an easy task. You have to deal with all sorts of interests and doubts that arise during these debates. The existence of the ICN best practice makes our life much easier in this sense, since we are able to demonstrate to whomever thinks it's necessary that this kind of change in the legal environment is not a creation of someone within an authority trying to make its own his or her own life easier. Instead, it's the result of years of debate among agencies worldwide and resulted in the certainty that this kind of modification in the legal system is favorable to the effectiveness of the, not only of the law, but also of the agency's activity as well. While the project bill is not approved, we are trying to modify our own procedures in order to reach more effectiveness and a better service to the public. As an example of this, we've set in 2006 a fast-track procedure which allows more simple cases to be analyzed in a very short period of time. In 2009, CADE has taken, in average, about 44 days to analyze each transaction. Fast-track procedures, or fast-track procedure cases, themselves have took only about 17 days to be analyzed in CADE. And if you consider that our trial sessions are quarterly, it means that they take place only at each 15 days, it's possible to say that in most of the cases, fast-track procedures allowed CADE to judge the transaction or to clear the transaction in the first trial session after the case arrives at the agency. It's a very impressive achievement, considering the short and the shortness of resources and mainly of structure to deal with all the cases involved. Not only the recommended practices has been of extreme usefulness for CADE, but also the active support of international organisms like ICN has also assisted us in defending the modifications in the law. ICN specifically has granted a letter of support to our project bill that has been very well accepted, not only by the antitrust community, but mainly by the congressmen who are interested in knowing better and not only how the system works, but also why it exists or what are their objectives. With this, I finish and will wait for any consideration and comments that the audience may have.
Thanks, Olavo, and best of luck with the bill. I know a lot of us are rooting for you. The idea of combining the three agencies is impressive, and streamlining merger review even better. So we wish you luck.
Thank you.
I'll just wanted to mention that another problem with the slides is the hyperlinks are not working. Again, the slide deck on the blog will have correct hyperlinks for those of you who are interested. We'll hear now from Jungbae Park, who's a Senior Deputy Director in the Mergers and Acquisitions Division at the Korean Fair Trade Commission. Operator, could you mute the line with musical? Thank you.
Just one moment, please.
Mr. Park will make a presentation about the Korean Fair Trade Commission experience of changing their merger notification system in accordance with the recommended practices of the ICN. And with that, I'll pass it to Jungbae Park. Mr. Park? You know what we will do? If Ron Stern is standing ready, I'm going to instead start with Ron. Ron is the Vice President and Senior Competition Counsel of General Electric. He's worked at the Department of Justice and in the most elite Washington, D.C. law firms. He joined GE in 1991. In addition to his excellent work at General Electric, Ron spends a considerable amount of time both as a non-governmental advisor to the ICN as well as in a group called the Merger Streamlining Group. And I'm going to leave it to him to explain more about this group now. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Maria. I'd just like to take a few minutes to talk about the work of this ad hoc group of international companies. The Merger Streamlining Group was formed in 2001, about the same time that the ICN was formed. And the reason or the key concern leading to the group's formation was the rapid growth of mandatory merger regimes and the problem that multiple merger reviews presented for global companies like General Electric that engaged in a lot of international transactions. General Electric has been a member of the group since it was formed and has worked closely with the primary outside counsel for the group, Bill Rowley and Neil Campbell at the McMillan firm in Toronto, Canada, to develop best practices for merger notification. The membership of the group has changed somewhat over the years, although many of the companies have been involved since the group was formed in 2001. The membership has become increasingly international, which is a good thing. The current members are listed on the slides that I've got, so you can see who they are. Next slide. Initially, when the group was formed, it was focused on the efforts to build recommended practices and to build awareness of what those best practices were. And since the group was formed at the same time that the ICN was formed, a number of counsel representing the companies as well as the outside counsel for the group became active as non-governmental advisors and assisted in the work of the group in developing the recommended practices. Once the initial ICN recommended practices were adopted, the Merger Streamlining Group shifted its efforts to promoting their implementation with an emphasis on the material local nexus threshold requirement in recommended practice one that we've already heard a lot about this morning from the competition authorities in Sweden and in Germany and in Brazil. Implementation of this core aspect of the recommended practices has been viewed as key to reducing unnecessary filings and speeding the completion of non-problematic mergers. From the standpoint of the companies who are the members of the Merger Streamlining Group, this reduces our costs of doing transactions, speeds the ability to close those transactions and to recognize the benefits of those transactions and therefore benefit consumers. As we've heard from a number of the agency leaders, there's also a real significant benefit for the agencies in avoiding wasting their scarce resources on merger filings that are non-problematic. So the first step in promoting implementation that the group took was survey work to try to identify jurisdictions that had not yet brought their merger review regimes into compliance with the ICN recommended practices and other internationally recognized standards such as the OECD standard that Cynthia had mentioned. And the thought was that by doing these surveys and underscoring places where individual jurisdictions might have fallen short of the best practices, that those jurisdictions would initiate reforms and quickly come into compliance. We realized, as we've already heard on the call, that sometimes this is a much longer effort, particularly where it requires legislation. So in more recent years, the group has really focused on promoting implementation on a country-by-country basis. The group's made numerous written submissions, held meetings with competition authorities, and has engaged in efforts to build support for reform legislation. The submissions have relied, as I mentioned, not only on the ICN recommended practices, but also on OECD and other similar best practices. And steps taken in other jurisdictions and success stories have been used as examples in advocating reform in other countries. Our goal is to partner with competition authorities, international and local legal groups, international and local business groups to foster implementation of merger recommended practices. The group would be pleased to assist any competition authority that may want assistance in building support for reform measures. There's more information on the Merger Streamlining Group and examples of its work product that are available on the Macmillan Firm website. There is a link in the program materials to that information. Thank you very much. I'll turn it back to Maria.
Thanks, Ron, and thanks very much for the offer of support. The same, of course, goes for the ICN, but it's really wonderful to see other groups like the Merger Streamlining Group out there and ready to help. I don't believe we have Mr. Park on the line right now. Mr. Park? I'm going to ask the operator to see if there are any questions at this time.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no questions in the queue.
I think we need some kind of incentive scheme to get people to ask questions on these things. I'm going to start offering prizes. We're going to move to our third theme and hope that Mr. Park is able to join us again, and we'll come back to him later. So the third theme is internal agency reform to effect change. We'll hear from Eduardo Perez Mota, who's chairman of the Mexican Federal Commission on Competition. And in addition to running the CFC, which is no small task, Eduardo is an integral part of the ICN leadership. He is vice chair for international coordination for the ICN and has been for many years, and he also plays a similar role at the OECD. He was appointed chairman of the CFC in 2004. Before joining the commission, Perez Mota was Mexico's ambassador to the WTO and head of the representation office of the Ministry of Trade and Industrial Development in Brussels. He's going to talk to us about some internal agency reforms the commission did to streamline their merger review process. In talking to agencies who have made changes, we've learned that very often there's a lot of changes agencies can implement only by changing their internal practices, and that normally doesn't require a whole lot of interaction outside of the agencies, although some do consult with stakeholders as they do it. So it's something that's relatively easy to do. Two of the areas where it was found most helpful is the timetable, so streamlining review procedures like Brazil did that we just heard about and as we'll hear about from Mexico. And also things like meetings with parties. But I won't go on too much further. I'll pass the floor to Eduardo, who has lots to share. Eduardo?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maria. Well, first of all, let me start thanking the Federal Trade Commission for organizing this event and giving the Federal Competition Commission of Mexico the opportunity to participate in this important web seminar. My impression is that these and other ICN efforts, such as the development of work products like recommended practices, are of extreme value for developing and developed jurisdictions. In these efforts, the synergies between the competition agencies and the non-governmental advisors have been crucial for the success of our work. So in this regard, the Competition Commission of Mexico has not only benefited from the collaboration of the development of the ICN work products, but in fact, these work products are intensively used as a benchmark inside the Commission. One of these areas where this is more evident is precisely mergers. And it goes in line with what you were saying, Maria, that in many cases you can make significant changes in your internal practices without necessarily changing the, or promoting changes in your law. Indeed, when it comes to analyzing merger notification and review procedures in Mexico, one can, with confidence, claim that they follow, in general, the international best practice. As recommended by the ICN, the rules that govern these procedures, among other things, establish, first, that only transactions with local nexus are subject to notification. Second, notification thresholds are based on objectively quantifiable criteria. Third, parties are allowed or permitted to notify a proposed transaction upon certification of a good faith intent to consummate the proposed transaction, and they also are permitted to file any time pre-closing. Four, major review is conducted within a reasonable period of time. We say reasonable, of course. Some companies say that it's sometime a little bit long, and some others say that some even say that it's a little bit too fast. But for transactions that do not raise material competitive concerns, our law provides an abbreviated or a fast-track review period of 50 days. And for all other transactions, we have a period of 35 days that can be, in extremely difficult cases, extended for 35 more days. So, five, the information requirements for initial notification are relatively few and are those just needed to initiate the review process. Of course, that in complex cases, we are allowed to add additional information. The notification and review procedures are quite transparent. That is, that all relevant regulations are readily available to the public and all decisions are published. And finally, the competition law and bylaws, in addition, establish an appropriate protection of confidential information. This is very, very important. So let me finally note that as recommended by the ICN, we periodically assess and review the effectiveness of our merger control provisions to see continual improvements in the merger control regime. The reform of the law in 2006, which introduced some of the elements just discussed, is a clear proof of this. And having said that, I must admit that although the merger notification and review procedures in Mexico are generally in line with international best practice, there is still room for improvement. For example, the competition law does not contemplate pre-notification consultations with merging parties, nor does it incorporate into the procedure opportunities for meeting or discussing with these actors as key points of the investigation. And the law does not compel the competition to publish the principles and criteria, I mean the guidelines, for to review whether the transaction creates competition concerns, in which cases that creates some competition concerns. So in order to address these shortcomings, in the last years, the Commission has been advocating for introduction of this reform to the competition law, aimed, among other things, at increasing the transparency and fairness of its procedures. Although last week, President Calderón, the President of Mexico, submitted a bill that, among other things, if it passes to the Congress, will result in important advances in this regard. In the meantime, we have tried to align our merger control regime to the international best practices through alternative means, and this is what you, Maria, were saying. Indeed, although the legislation does not formally require it has also been a common practice, first, to provide pre-notification guidance to merging practice, second, to discuss with them significant issues that arise during the course of the investigation, and third, to give merging parties the opportunity to respond to material competition concerns prior to the agency making a final adverse enforcement decision on the merits. So this year, we will also issue guidelines both on procedural and substantive issues. Actually, we have already a procedural guideline that is under public consultation in our website. And the first of these guidelines is going to be in place relatively soon, which I mean is the procedural one. To conclude, I would like to mention that last year we managed to cut substantially the time the average time required by the competition to review cases, especially cases that do not raise material competitive concerns. Once more, this improvement was introduced within the framework of the rules of the game established in our legislation without legislative change. Put differently, we were able to introduce all this without, of course, changing the law. So as a result of these changes, which involved carefully identifying sectors of the economy and types of transactions that rarely pose a competitive concern, in 2009, we were able to conclude the review process of non-complex cases in less than 13 days. And that is half of the time it took to the Mexican Competition Authority to take this decision in 2005. So let me, again, Maria and the Federal Trade Commission, to thank you for organizing this this web seminar and also for inviting the Mexican Competition Commission.
Eduardo, the thanks are all ours. And reducing your review for the non-problematic transactions by 50% is incredibly impressive. Your president's support of your agency and the proposals it's put forward are well noted by the international community, and we wish you luck with all of those. And I think that more than one of us will be very interested in seeing the procedural guidelines that you have on your website for comment. So thank you very much. At this time, I'll ask Cynthia to pass the...
Hello?
I'm
Park from KFTC.
Wonderful, Mr. Park. Thank you. Okay, so we will rewind just a few minutes. I'm so glad that you are able to join again. Mr. Park is Senior Deputy Director for Mergers and Acquisitions at the Korean Fair Trade Commission, and he's going to speak about changes to the notification thresholds and the role of the ICN and international best practice generally.
Thank you for waiting. I apologize for being late, but I was actually connected on the phone, but maybe for some technical problem, I could not be heard. So anyhow, I'm...
Okay, well, we can hear you hear you loud and clear now. Thank you.
Yes, I'm honored to participate in this web seminar and make a presentation on how the ICN recommended practices have made an impact on the continuous reform of our agency's merger notification system. With relation to the cross-border mergers, of which the parties are foreign-based businesses, we have first introduced the so-called local nexus to our merger threshold in 2003, which at that time required the mergers to be notified when both of the merging parties have turnover within Korea of at least more than 3 billion Korean won, that is equivalent to just about $3 million. And in 2007, not long after we introduced this local nexus threshold, the KFTC raised the requirement of local turnover to about 20 billion Korean won, which is almost 7 times higher than the original threshold level. And as a result, now for cross-border mergers to be notified to the KFTC, it is required that at least two parties to the transaction have turnover of at least about $20 million within the territory of Korea. The ICN recommended practice provided the momentum for this reform. Section 1 and B of the recommended practices states that merger notification thresholds should incorporate appropriate standards of materiality as to the level of local nexus required for merger notification. Many people consider that the level of $3 billion turnover as local nexus requirement in Korea was far lower than the material level of turnover considering the size of the Korean economy. In the year 2007, the KFTC received letters from the merger streamlining group, and they pointed out that the KFTC needs to raise level of local nexus thresholds in order to streamline our merger notification system in compliance with the materiality requirement of the ICN best practices. This request from the merger streamlining group also made an impact, and the KFTC decided to revise the local nexus that was put into effect from the late 2007. And another example of streamlining the merger notification procedure in line with the ICN recommended practices in Korea is the last year's elimination of a deadline for pre-merger notification. The KFTC imposed a time limit or a deadline for pre-merger notification until very recently. So companies had to make notifications to the KFTC within 30 days after the contract is signed for merger transaction. By the way, the ICN recommended practice section 3B states that, quote, jurisdictions should not impose deadlines for pre-merger notification. So considering this global best practice with respect to the timing of pre-merger notification, the KFTC in 2008 pursued to revise its competition law to remove the deadline for pre-merger notification, and the revised law was taken into effect from May 2009. And as a result, the merging parties can notify the merger to the KFTC whenever they see appropriate at their convenience, as long as it is before the completion of the merger. But during the discussion and legislation process for these reforms, recommended practices of the ICN have always been considered as the primary source of rationale for change and reform. There is still a long way to go for the KFTC to fully streamline its merger notification and review system. And I am sure that the best practices produced within the framework of the ICN will continue to take an important role as a powerful advocate for future reform in Korea. Thanks for listening.
No, thank you, Mr. Parkin, and thank you very much for all the nice support of the ICN and others like the Merger Streamlining Group. We're running a little bit tight on time, so I think we're going to move straight to the fourth theme, and we'll open the floor for questions at the conclusion of that. The fourth theme is called Building Support for Change, and I don't think it will come as a surprise to anyone on this call that experience suggests that all stakeholders, not just agency officials, but private practitioners, academics, business, can play an important role in affecting change. Building consensus among interested constituencies throughout the reform process definitely facilitates enactment and acceptance of reform. On this topic, we're going to hear from Antonio Gomez, who is the Director of Mergers at the Portuguese Competition Authority. He joined the authority in 2005 as a senior economist and was appointed head of the merger department in 2007. He's also an assistant professor at the Department of Economics, Management, and Industrial Engineering at the University of Aveiro in Portugal. Antonio will discuss the 2009 revision of the notification form and as well as the introduction of the electronic notification system. Antonio, Cynthia, if you could pass
thank
the...
Thank you very much.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much, Maria. I'd like to start by thanking the opportunity to participate in this ICN teleseminar. And as you just said, I'll be talking about the 2009 revision of the notification form and the implementation of the electronic notification system. I think the slides are upside down. So the new notification form in Portugal was adopted in March 2009, and it reflects the accumulated experience of the Portuguese Competition Authority over the last 5 years in merger control. We've tried to improve the structure and organization of the notification form, also allowing for electronic submission of the notification. We've introduced definitions of legal and economic concepts used in merger analysis and clarified the mandatory nature of the information required on the notification forms, introducing discretionary waivers so as to adapt the information requested to the complexity of the case. I would like to say at this stage that the ICN recommended practice for merger notification procedures and the ICN's information requirements for merger notifications are very useful when you're trying to revise your notification form. In this process of revising the notification form, we held a public consultation process that was conducted according to the requirements of the Portuguese Competition Act, and we've received comments from 9 law firms to the draft notification form. Additional telephone contacts with lawyers who had submitted comments were held to better understand their points of view, and at the end we published all the comments in the PCA's website. And we also published an explanatory note saying what changes were made following the consultation, and the form was finally adopted in March 2009. I would like to say that the engagement of stakeholders in this process was of very high importance, having involved the vast majority of law firms that most notify mergers. It was helpful in bringing relevant issues to the attention of the PCA, such as the views of the lawyers on the design of an efficient and effective merger regime. It was helpful in identifying areas of particularly burdensome to business, in promoting the reform, increasing its acceptance by the business community and the private bar, and we believe that this reform has increased transparency. So I would say that the feedback was globally positive, and a lot of substantial improvements were identified relative to the previous notification form. As I said before, this revision of the notification form allowed the parties to notify their mergers electronically. So we've decided to develop a web-based platform to allow the parties to electronically submit the formal notification form, which is a first step towards the reduction and elimination of the physical workflow in merger control. And it's linked to the Competition Authority's document workflow system. It has advantages such as the online access to the merger decision at the end of the process, and it gives warnings concerning the procedure phases. And we believe that in the near future it will be possible to allow online access to file via that platform. It also ensures confidentiality to all the submitted documentation through a system of encryption and the verification of user login together with a digital certification. It is a system that we believe is safer than email, and it has a greater capacity. We've also, in this case, we've held a consultation process, an informal consultation, which had 2 phases, a development phase and a trial phase. In the development phase, we've selected a few law firms according to the number of past notifications and sent them invitations by email to participate in a couple of meetings where the objectives of the project were discussed the best ways to achieve those objectives were discussed, and we also allowed to test the platform. We then had a trial phase, which included not only all these lawyers in the first phase, but another 20 other lawyers who had the possibility of creating submitting a fictional notification. I would say that the engagement of the law firms in this process was also very, very important, as it allowed to build consensus over the objectives of the project and its development. It fostered the use of the new notification to making its use friendlier, and it was definitely a key element towards a successful implementation of the new notification tool. So the feedback was positive. It helped to speed up proceedings, and notification via this new platform has already been used in 73% of merger notifications between January and March 2010. We have future objectives for this platform, such as online access to file by notifying parties and possibly by third parties, online information requests such as e-questionnaires, and we hope that we will almost completely eliminate the need for physical copies of documents. So this is our experience in the revision of the notification form and in this electronic notification system that we have implemented. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Antonio, very much. And I apologize for the confusion with the slides. Unfortunately, these are growing pains to the webinar. We're just learning how to use this. And when we pass the video, we pass also the control of the slides. So we forgot to pass on the explanation for how to rotate them. Now we're going to hear from someone on the other side of the equation, and as we're running out of time, I won't spend a whole lot of time introducing him. Many of you are familiar with him already. Dave Potter from Australia. He is partner and head of the competition group at Melson Stephen Jack and a leading member of the competition bar. He has an excellent relationship with the agency and with the ICN generally. He has been an important advocate for both the changes in Australia as well as the changes elsewhere. Dave?
Ah, thank you very much, Maria. I'll be very brief. We in Australia have been very fortunate to learn a lot from the ICN recommendations. A lot of the previous speakers have also raised the same types of points that I'm going to raise, but I'm going to raise it from a private sector perspective. After the ICN conference in Seoul, our chairman of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission was very conscious of the private sector and business issues with our merger processes in Australia. In 2007 and late 2006, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, led by ACCC Chairman Graham Samuel and supported by the mergers team, people such as Tim Grimwade, who've worked on ICN, created new merger clearance process guidelines, which were based on the ICN recommended practices. What the ACCC did is that they were very conscious that in order to have new merger process guidelines accepted by the business and private bar, that it was very important to have meaningful consultation with the private bar associations. So in Australia, what the ACCC did is that they set out a draft of their guidelines and their process. They put it onto their website. They issued it to the bar associations. They invited comment. And then at the highest levels of the commission, they organised meetings for the lawyers representing the companies to meet with the ACCC to discuss the proposals in relation to the merger clearance process. And most importantly, there was not just lip service paid to it, but there was meaningful consultation and meaningful changes made based on the comments and suggestions from the private sector. This served as twofold. First off, it brought in the private sector and the private bar. They bought into the process. they accepted the reasoning behind the regulators' changes. The second part of that is that having bought into the process and understanding some of the reasons why the regulator was doing things in this new way is based on the ICN recommendations. Since they were introduced, they have worked very well. Whenever we have issues, we can always bring them back to the guidelines, but they've been accepted by the business community and the legal profession because of that real and meaningful consultation. So we thought that was a very successful example in this part of the world of building support for change. Maria, I think given the time, if that's all right, I'll wrap up my bit by making those comments.
No, you're agreeable, brief, and helpful, as always. I think it is an important point about not just lip service to consultation, and I encourage others who are thinking about change to really look at what the Australians and the Portuguese have done in terms of consultations outside of the agency. I think it's enormously helpful, and in the long run, your changes are a lot more likely to have buy-in and be followed and so on and so forth with this consultation. Again, we're tight on time, so I'm going to pass the floor immediately to Marta Lisseppi, who is an economist specializing in competition policy at the Investment Climate Department of the World Bank. She was previously principal economic advisor at the Peruvian telecom regulator and head of market research for Indecopi, the Peruvian competition agency. Marta is going to discuss the role of international institutions in supporting change. Marta? We may have the same problem with Marta that we have with Mr. Park, so...
Hello, Maria, can you hear me?
I know, perfect, great, thank
okay.
you, yes, great.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for the invitation to speak at this seminar, and I will be also very, very brief given the time constraint right now. One of the main areas of work at the World Bank Group is actually helping governments to improve their business environment, as you mentioned at the beginning, and encourage and retain investment in order to foster competitive markets. As part of this task, we constantly work with developing countries that pass different kinds of reforms, like from simplifying business regulations, improving trade logistics systems, streamlining licensing and business taxation systems, develop sound insolvency systems, and, of course, implementing effective competition policy. To implement these reforms, this involves working with several agencies of the government, including new competition and regulatory agencies, bringing expertise and best practices and combining different stakeholders together through public and private dialogue, benchmark and diagnostic studies that show the potential benefits of legal and institutional changes, and successful stories of reform implementation. And this is how we sort of build support for reform through these mechanisms. Last year, for instance, this work resulted on 33 national reforms passed in Colombia and 18 for Rwanda alone. Several factors, of course, distinguish these countries among reformers. There is a strong presidential and governmental support for change. They have sustained multi-year reform programs, and there has been a successful implementation of public and private dialogue among private sector, academics, politicians, and government officials. So in this sense, there are several potential synergies between our work and ICN work products. For reforms related to competition and regulation, ICN work should be seen as one of the main references for international best practice in the application of competition policy, in antitrust, but also in advocacy work. For instance, right now, and related to this working group, the East African Community Secretariat is looking to establish thresholds to its merger processes. So right now, ICN materials to help design EAC merger review process and should be used and could be used as a benchmark. In fact, I'm very, very pleased that the bank is currently collaborating with ICN in order to design a toolkit that analyzes competition and regulatory barriers in transport and trucking markets. This could be another way in which we could combine the expertise of ICN in competition policy and the experience of the bank in improving the business environments in order to build a common agenda in competition. We hope that in the near future, ICN experts could participate in technical assistance projects and conference to mainstream best practices in emerging markets. finally, the ICN toolkit prepared by the Vice Chair of Outreach to introduce a work product of ICN is another useful tool which can be distributed to our consultants engaged in work with competition agencies and will help in the diffusion of international recommended practices too. So I hope I was brief, but this is basically what we are working on right now.
Martha, that was extremely helpful, and I hope that you, for the East African community, for the merger review, I hope you point them not just to the ICN, but more particularly to the ASAP program that we're going to hear about in a minute, and perhaps also to Ron Stern's merger streamlining group. We are here to help if they want it. With that, I'm going to pass the floor briefly to Cynthia Lagdimeo. Cynthia's chair of the Notification and Procedure subgroup, and she's known among some circles as Queen of the ICN. With that introduction, I pass the floor to her to spend a couple of minutes summarizing some of the relevant work product that ICN has prepared on this topic.
Thanks, Maria. We've heard a lot of, let me send the video, sorry. We were fortunate to have had many conversations like the ones we've had today with agencies that have made changes, but we've also had conversations with those that failed and tried. And it became clear to us that while nearly all of the ICN members aspire to conform to the recommended practices, a major barrier to implementation was agencies knowing how to affect change. The results of these conversations are presented in an implementation report and in an implementation handbook. The report distills a lot of the lessons learned that we've heard today, and the handbook has examples of conforming language, of notices, legislative provisions that you could look to copy for your jurisdiction if appropriate. There's a one-page tip sheet, so if you don't read the entire document, I encourage you to at least look at the tip sheet. Maria and other speakers have mentioned a lot of the work products that we have done in the Notification and Procedure subgroup. We have a document on setting notification thresholds, on defining merger transactions, on initial information requirements, to talk about mechanisms for flexibility in the content of your initial notification. All these documents are on the ICN website. I encourage you to go and download them. And if you use them, we'd be very interested in hearing from you and how they were used in your jurisdiction. I'll spend just 30 seconds on our current work. We're working on a self-assessment questionnaire that agencies can use to determine whether their merger notification systems conform with the recommended practices. We're going to be discussing the questionnaire at the Istanbul conference in one of the merger working group breakout sessions. So if you're going to Istanbul, I encourage you to join us. That program is also called Tools for Change. There is an upcoming merger workshop in Rome in the fall, and we will be discussing implementation further there. As Maria suggested, really the greatest resource that the ICN has to offer are our members. And you'll hear from a moment in the JFTC, but Maria and I and the entire Notification and Procedure subgroup are happy to speak with you about the RPs, about any of the work product, about implementation efforts. Shoot us an email, pick up the phone. We're very reachable, so please don't hesitate to contact us. There is a more formalized process for tapping into the ICN resources that we're going to discuss next, so I will turn it over back to Maria.
Thank you, Cynthia. And I am very quickly going to pass the floor to Ms. Toshiko Igarashi, who is the Deputy Director of International Affairs Division at the Japan Fair Trade Commission. Toshiko is in charge of ICN matters at the JFTC, and before her current task, she worked at the Merger and Acquisitions Division. She's going to talk about what I think is a very interesting new support initiative within the ICN for members and non-members who want assistance learning more about ICN work products, implementing ICN recommended practices, et cetera. Toshiko?
Yes. Thank you, Maria. Thank you for the opportunity. As you have learned from case studies of various countries in this seminar, ICN work products can help you reform competition law regime in your jurisdiction. But what if you want to change your competition law in a way consistent with international practices, but you don't know which IGN products you should refer to, or what you can do to understand the contents of the IGN products better. The ISAP can be a solution. The ISAP stands for the Advocacy and Implementation Network Support Program, which was established in 2008. It is a support program of the ASEAN designed by the Vice Chair for Advocacy and Implementation and the Advocacy and Implementation Network, or AIN, which consisting of liaison officers representing each working group. The basic framework of the ISAF is as follows. ASEAN members can apply for the ISAF to request assistance, and the VCANI pairs the requesting agency with expert staff from ASEAN member agencies. The supporting agencies provide the requesting agency with a thorough explanation of relevant ASEAN work products and advice on implementation as appropriate. The support is mainly provided via email communications and video or telephone conferences. The support does not include financial assistance. To the next slide, please. Currently, competition agencies of Vietnam, Zambia, and Mongolia have been using the ISAF, and they received assistance on ASEAN products through teleseminars and emails, as well as ad hoc meetings. There are more agencies that have decided to use the ISAF. So what you should do if you want to use the ISAF to run the ASEAN products for helping to change your competition role? First, you can contact the Vice Chair for Advocacy and Implementation via email to asean@jfcc.go.jp. We have created a short registration form to apply for the ISAF and will ask you a brief explanation of your plan of drafting or forming law and your interested area for support. Alternatively, when AIN members provide information about upcoming or ongoing reform efforts in member jurisdictions, the Vice Chair for Advocacy and Implementation, or its designee, will contact the agencies in order to confirm the needs of the agents for the ASEAN assistance. Then, when the VCANA confirmed the requesting agency's assistance needs, the VCANI will consult with the requesting agency to develop a draft assistance program that addresses their request. In that process, the ASEAN products that are relevant to the needs of the requesting agency will be identified, and at the same time, the VCANI solicit volunteers within the ASEAN who are willing to give assistance to the requesting agency. Then the VCANI will consult with the AIN and relevant working groups to seek comments on the draft assistance program. Through this process, the support plan can be improved, and based on the finalized assistance program, the supporting agency will provide the agreed assistance to the requesting agency. That's the way how the ISAF works. So please contact asean@jfcc.go.jp if you are interested in the ISAF. We have also prepared a flyer explaining the ISAF on the ASEAN website. If you go to the ASEAN website, you can find the link on the top page. Thank you very much. Back to you, Malia.
Thank you, Toshiko. And I'm glad you mentioned the flyer on the website, as I think it's a wonderful overview of what the AIN support program does. I think a number of people will notice a striking similarity between the background of the slides today and the flyer. And I have to say, it was the JFTC that first came up with this design. I want now to open the floor to questions for just 2 minutes, as we're running a bit out of time.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no questions in the queue at this time. I turn the call back over to you. Ms. Coppola.
Thank you. Well, that comes as no surprise, but disappointing just the same. I want to spend 30 seconds just saying an enormous thank you to all of our speakers for sharing their stories today. A lot of them are very instructive and even inspirational. I encourage those of you who are thinking about making change or who would like to see change in your jurisdiction for NGAs to contact the ICN Notification and Procedures Chair, Cynthia Lagdimeo, again, or perhaps Ron Stern through the Merger Streamlining Group, or Toshiko Igarashi in INSUP. Again, the slide decks will be available on the ICM website as well as an MP3 recording of this teleseminar in another week's time. Thank you all very much for your time, for your attention, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks very much.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.